Yatat brahma param shukshmam,
yatat brahma param
Asunyam sunya kalpitam Bhagavan Vasudeveti Yam vinanti sattvata Yattat brahma param suksmam Sunyam sunya kalpitam Bhagavan Vasudeveti Yam grinanti sattvata is not. The Lord is therefore
understood and sung about by pure devotees. This would be the Supreme Personality of Godhead,
Vasudeva,
Krishna,
is
extremely difficult to understand for unintelligent man. Who accept him as impersonal or void, which he is not. The Lord is therefore understood and sung about by pure devotees. Purport, as stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, second chapter, verse 11. Padantita tatva vidas, tatva yaj jnanam advayam, brahmeti paramatmeti, bhagavan iti satyate. The absolute truth is realized in three phases: as Brahman, as Paramatma, and as Bhagavan. Bhagavan is the origin of everything. Brahman is a partial representation of Bhagavan. And Vasudev, the super soul living everywhere and in everyone's heart, is also an advanced realization of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But when one comes to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva Sarvam Iti, when one realizes that Vasudev is both Paramatma and the impersonal Brahman, he is then in perfect knowledge. Krishna is therefore described by Arjuna as Param Brahma Param Dama Pavitram Paramam Bhavam. The words Param Brahma refer to the shelter of the impersonal Brahman and also of the all-pervading super soul. When Krishna says Chaktva Deham Punarjanma Naiti Mam Eti, this means that the perfect devotee, after perfect realization, returns home, back to Godhead. Maharaj Gadfanga accepted the shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and because of his full surrender, he achieved perfection. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the ninth canto, ninth chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Dynasty of Amsumam. Om Agyan Kivarudasagyan, Sankaya Shakshurusuntam, Natas Maksir Kudurinamam, Om Vishnitai Krishnastam, Vishnita Sattaridas Kshavidinamam, Om Vishnitai Krishnastam, Vishnita Bhaktivedanta Sankaram, Namaste Sarasvati Devi, Yorubhanta Charvani, Nirvishi Satsunyavadi Pasyatya Desatari. So this last verse of the chapter is spoken by Sri Sukadeva Goswami, and Maharaj Gadfanga, he already by this time had clearly made his choice. Due to his him being a powerful king, and due to him being able to help the demigods fighting back the demons with great success, then the demigods, they wanted to offer him some blessings, some material benefits for his great acts in helping them, defeating them from the defeating the demons, so that they could again be fully back in their position, in their glorious position as the demigods in control of the universe. So, but King Katvanga, he was more intelligent. He immediately asked, how long do I have to live? And the answer was very short. You are at the end of your life. So for him, immediately being brought up in the Brahminical culture, for him immediately it rang a strong bell. Now I have to become super serious in my spiritual life, and I want to prepare myself to go back to Godhead, which is the goal of our life also, to prepare ourselves during this lifetime to go back to Godhead. So then, Srila Prabhupada states in this purport, he states a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, and that speaks about the absolute truth. Because the absolute truth is realized in three different phases: Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. And Brahman is the Lord's energy, just like the sun rays of the sun is the sun's energy. And some people think that is all and all in all. That's it, Brahman, realization, without linking it to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is incomplete. It is impersonal philosophy. So, just like the sun rays, if you only consider the sun rays and you do not consider the sun, because you may not even see the sun, then that's an impersonal approach of the sun god. Because the sun god and the sun globe, they are giving the sun rays. So the sun rays are a side product of. So also the Brahman effulgence is coming from Bhagavan, from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But it's a partial representation, it's not complete. It's the glowing effulgence of the Lord. And the Paramatma is the super soul. The super soul living in the heart of all living entities. And it is like that also a partial representation of the Lord. That's why it states here in that verse of the first canto, second chapter, it says that only those who have full understanding, they see that Bhagavan is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that Brahman realization and Paramatma are part of the same Lord. That is perfect knowledge. And that's why in this verse also it says that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudev Krishna, is extremely difficult to understand for unintelligent men. So for people who do not have complete knowledge, who only see part of the truth or part of the reality, then their understanding is not complete. They are considered unintelligent men. So we see that Arjuna in the 10th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, he also had this complete understanding of the Lord, and that's why the purport of the verse is mentioned: Param Brahma Param Dhamma Pavitram Param Bhavam. And Arjuna, he came to this conclusion after he heard from Lord Krishna the four verses, four important verses, like from 10:9 or from 10:8 to 10:11 of Bhagavad Gita, which Srila Prabhupada points out as being the essential verses of the Bhagavad Gita. Just like there are four verses in the Srimad Bhagavatam, which are considered, all verses are important of course, but that are considered extra important. So also in Bhagavad Gita there are four, what Srila Prabhupada calls, essential verses. And after hearing these four verses, then Arjuna makes this conclusion, what he states here. So these verses are Aham sarvasya pravavo mata sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajante mam buddha bhava samampita. Translation: I am the source, Krishna is speaking to Arjuna, I am the source of all spiritual and material worlds. Everything emanates from me. The wise who perfectly know this engage in my devotional service and worship me with all their hearts. And then the second of the four verses: Makchita Makata Brahma Bodhayanta Parasparam Katayantas Chamam Ditya Dushanticha Ramanticha. Translation: the thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me. Their lives are fully devoted to my service, and they derive great satisfaction and bliss from always enlightening one another and conversing about me. Then the third one: Tesham satata yuktanam vajatam pritipurvakam dadami buddhiyuntam yenamam upayanti te. To those who are constantly devoted to serving me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. And then the last of the four: Tesham evanukam partam mahamagyana jantama nasayami atmabhavasto jnana dipena asvata. To show them special mercy, I, dwelling in their hearts, destroy with the shining lamp of knowledge the darkness born of ignorance. And then immediately after Arjuna speaks, Param Brahma Param Dhamma pavitram paramam bhavam purusham satsvatam divyam adidevam ajam vibhum. So Krishna speaking to Arjuna is a process of transfer of knowledge, and is also a process of convincing. Just like when you have a discussion with somebody and they don't agree with you at the beginning, but so or other, when you come with strong arguments, then you are able to convince the other person. So that's also what's happening with Krishna and Arjuna. Krishna is coming with very strong arguments, and he is convincing Arjuna. And Arjuna is having doubts in the beginning, very strong doubts, but then he is getting convinced. And that's why Arjuna says here in the beginning of the 10th chapter, 10th out of 18 chapters, so a little bit over half of the discussion between him and Krishna, Arjuna said, "You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the ultimate abode, the purest, the absolute truth. You are the eternal, transcendental, original person, the unborn, the greatest. All the great sages, such as Narada, Sita, Devala, and Vyas, confirm this truth about you. And now you yourself are declaring it to me." And so Prabhupada explains that Arjuna, after hearing the essential four verses of Bhagavad Gita in this chapter, became completely free from any doubts and accepted Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is what happens if we preach, if we distribute books, or we preach to people. People hear, and people can become convinced with solid arguments. And these are great achievements, because we are all conditioned souls, and sometimes we are bewildered. And then if somebody sets us straight, then he is our spiritual guide, if he puts us on the right path, on the right track. Or even if we are on the right track, sometimes we can also become, for some reason or something that happened in our life, we can become bewildered. But then if somebody preaches to us, of course we have our sadhana, we have so many protections in that sense, which keep us on the path of Krishna consciousness. But still, we see here how Krishna does it with Arjuna. Then Sri Prabhupada, he ends the purport by stating this verse, "Janma karma same divyam evam yo veti tatvata tyaktva deham punar janma naiti mam iti so Arjuna." And that's related to King Katvanka. This verse is directly related to him, because it's the last verse and it's the conclusion, that he took the right path, that he took shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that's why Sri Prabhupada quotes this verse, saying that one who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities, he does not, upon leaving his body, take his birth again in this material world, but that he attains my eternal abode, O Arjuna. So that was the result of the King Katvanga's surrender to the Supreme Lord. Now, last week I was asked to give class, but then for some reason there was a change in the schedule. But it, I was informed quite late, so I had already prepared something. So I wanted to say something about that verse which I was going to discuss, 43. Because why is Maharaj Katvanga, why was he able to take that decision to, instead of accepting all the opulence in the three worlds that he could get from the demigods, why did he reject that? It's because of his upbringing within the Brahminical culture. It's not by accident. It's because of his understanding what is the real value and what is flickering but has no value. Because of that understanding, Maharaj Katvanga was able to take the right decision. And Srila Prabhupada says that once one who desires to advance in Krishna consciousness and spiritual understanding, he must give the utmost importance to Brahminical culture. So we have to, and of course, all us who are here, you know, we have already in one sense taken that choice to be in a Krishna conscious environment, to take shelter in the Brahminical culture. And Srila Prabhupada says, besides accepting the Brahminical culture, we must understand Krishna. And if we are in the Brahminical culture, and if between being in the Brahminical culture, by being in the Brahminical culture, and by our own efforts of study and proper chanting and sadhana, etc., then we can also understand Krishna, then our life is successful. In that verse, I want to say a little more about Brahminical culture. In that verse, Srila Prabhupada quoted the verse Namo Brahmanya Devaya Go Brahmanya Itaya Cha Jagat Itaya Krishnaya Govindaya Namo Maha. I offer my respectful obeisances to the Supreme Absolute Truth Krishna, who is the well-wisher of the cows and the Brahmanas, as well as the living entities in general. I offer my repeated obeisances to Govinda, who is the pleasurer for all the senses. So, Srila Prabhupada established ISKCON to be to develop the Brahminical culture, and that's natural and it's understood. And in this verse, it is mentioned that the cows and the Brahmanas, and the cows are even mentioned first, and then the Brahmanas as well. So, in many ways, Srila Prabhupada established a society with the accent on Brahmanas. But Srila Prabhupada also didn't forget about the cows. Although he complained at some point, or he expressed at some point, that he was not able to develop Varnashram. And as such, he would have given more attention. But even in the beginning, if we see, Srila Prabhupada started in 26 Second Avenue, and then he asked Mukunda Goswami to open a temple in San Francisco, all at the very beginning. And then the third place was Montreal. But at practically at the same time with Montreal, he established a new Vrindavan farm in 68. 1968. So, with this 1,000-acre project, is bigger than Mayapur, so to say. There is called Mayapur, there is called Yuvrindavan, is bigger with their 1,000 acres. And Srila Prabhupada wanted that the devotees live with the cows and with the land and with the... And not only established he New Vrindavan like that, but also other projects, like for example New Mayapur in France, is a 200-acre farm, and Bhaktivedanta Manor, and of course we have India, Mayapur, and then in South India he also started a farm there. So in so many ways he started these efforts. And in Mayapur, and especially related to Mayapur, he gave special statements. Like he said, for in relation to cow protection, for Mayapur, he said the Mayapur farm should set an exemplary standard for the whole world to follow. And then at some point he says, my first priority is to improve the Goshala. This program is very, very important. We must grow our own fodder for the cows. And then he said at some point, along with preaching, this is the most important work. And he said, Mayapur's cows should supply all the milk and milk products used by the residents. We have some time to go. We should keep the cows very happy and without fear, and they will produce double quantity of milk. Another statement, economic development means produce more food grains and more milk. That's a proper statement for economic development. Where are we with that, with these things? The Goshala is not meant for profit, but if there is excess milk, it may be sold. The whole idea is we are a community to be independent from outside help. We want a temple, a Goshala, and agriculture. So these are all statements made by Srila Prabhupada while he was here in Mayapur. And on self-sufficiency, he said, Mayapur residents are engaged in farming to produce all of their food, grains, vegetables and fruits, grow cotton to make cloth, and keep cows to provide all of their milk products. So that's the second time he mentions that. Mayapur inhabitants can be engaged in small manufacturing enterprises as well as farming to become self-sufficient. Mayapur residents are engaged in cottage industry and make all the products used within Mayapur, especially including clothing, mridangas, cartels, doll making and medicine. The idea is we must have the necessities of our life as far as possible, independently. But we should not be business-minded. We don't require to go outside the land for our livelihood. Grow food first to feed yourself sumptuously, but not for trade. The important principle is that everyone must be gainfully employed. Production is not meant for trade or business, but to facilitate a simple life. However, if there are surplus goods, they may be sold for profit. Through self-sufficiency, devotees have more time for preaching and chanting. And then he makes another strong statement. Self-sufficiency is not too primitive or too simple. It is the only practical solution, Srila Prabhupada says. Economic development means producing more food and more milk, so that there is not scarcity of food and everyone is happy. So these are some of the statements in this regard. And when we read statements from the Bhagavatam, then we can see how important is the for our Brahminical culture to have both, to have the cows and to have the brahmanas. One purport of first canto: Lord Krishna as Govinda is more inclined to the brahmanas and the cows, indicating thereby that human prosperity depends more on these two items, namely Brahminical culture and cow protection. Lord Krishna is never satisfied where these are lacking. Recently I heard about one project, quite a big project, where the head pujari decided to change the diet of the deities, and she bought first class coconut oil instead of ghee. She wanted to replace. But like one sannyasi mentioned, Krishna is not an oil thief, he's a butter thief. So we should not. Sometimes we can become bewildered because of influence of vegan or things like that. Because it is a fact that in many temples in the world today, the deities get milk from cows that are slaughtered. That is a fact. And we have a very weak point there in relation to the vegans. But from that, to take the conclusion that we should not serve any more butter and ghee and etc., some people are taking that a few steps too far. We should continue, but we should also do very much more effort than we have been doing until now. If we see that, that the it's very beneficial if we give attention in our Brahminical culture to the brahmanas and to the cows. But we have been lacking in giving attention to the cows. And we should, after 50 years of Srila Prabhupada establishing ISKCON, we are still giving butter, ghee, milk to the deities that is coming from cows that are slaughtered, then we are lacking there. We are seriously lacking there. This is something that needs attention in our movement. This is not not good. And by some arrangement, the vegans are coming up in the world stronger and stronger. And they have a point. We should not, we should not be serving, we should be serving milk from protected cows to our deities and also to our devotees. It may take time, but we have to take it serious. And that's when things happen, when we take it serious. For the last 50 years, we have not been taking it very serious. And we could go on like that, but it's not good. And that's why, as far as I understand, Krishna is sending these speakers to wake us up. Not to adjust and make our restaurants vegan. Of course, to serve some vegan preparations, that's fine. But to make our restaurants vegan, or to make our own kitchen vegan, that's too far. That's not what. So there are more statements. The cow is meant to deliver milk, and the bull is meant to produce grains. But in the age of Kali, the Sudra class of men are in the post of administrators. And the cows and bulls of the mothers and the fathers, unprotected by the Vaishyas, are subjected to the slaughterhouses organized by the Sudra administrators. The human society should recognize the importance of the cow and the bull, and thus give all protection to these important animals. Following in the footsteps of Maharaj Parikshit, for protecting the cows and Brahminical culture, the Lord, who is very kind to the cow and the Brahmanas, will be pleased with us, and we will bestow upon us real peace. One more statement. The purport of this prayer is that the Lord specifically protects the Brahmanas and the cows, and then He protects all other members of society. It is His will that universal welfare work depends on the protection of cows and Brahmanas. Thus, Brahminical culture and cow protection are the basic principles for human civilization. So these are strong statements, and they basically mean that unless and until we come to the point to give proper attention and a proper balance to the Brahmanas, protection of the Brahmanas, protection of the cows, then our society cannot really flourish. So I will stop here, if there is any comment. Any question? Prabhupada ki.
Hare Krishna, Prabhupada. Thank you for your class. Just a thought that I had at 5 a.m. of the class. What does it mean to give protection to the Brahmins? We understand the protection to the cows. I think it might be easier. But I thought, what does it mean to give protection to the Brahmins?
Yeah, my understanding is that the Brahmanas are the head of the society from which then the sannyasis come and the the spiritual leaders of our society, but everybody needs protection, so they also need to be protected so that they can do their studies and they can be helped in to live simple, to live in a simple environment. Because Brahminical lifestyle means simple living, I think. So the Kshatriyas should protect the Brahmanas and give them these basic facilities where they can, where they don't have to worry about these basic needs of life, but at the same time live simple, at the same time be focused on their seva, their study, and etc. And that's the form of protection that the Brahmanas need from the leaders of the society.
Yeah, I just want to say that this kind of soul in our body from birth, past birth to last birth. After our death, you say that?
I didn't understand. Okay,
say again. Just say that.
You can use that.
Existence of soul.
The distance.
Existence of soul in our body from our first breath to last breath, after all day, to transmigrate from one body to another body. So, after the day, soul exists. Suddenly, it's transferred to another body or it stays anywhere. I just don't know. Existence of soul after the day.
I'm sorry for that. Maybe we can, after the class, we can speak. Gaurahari Prabhu. Can you give the mic to Gaurahari?
Why is it that in this day, protecting cows, taking care of cows seems to be a liability, simply an expensive hobby?
I think the explanation is because we are not using the bulls. That's one of the main lacking principles. Bulls should be used to work. They can also do drive cars, like now very recently they started with this cart to bring tourists from the restaurant here to the workshop. These are nice. Bulls should be used. They should be working. They can work in the land. They can, you know, run or walk around and make oil from seeds. Walk around and produce electricity, or whatever, but the bulls should be working. If everything of the cow is used, if the energy of the cow is used, if the cow dung is properly used, the cow, all what she gives is very positive energy and very positive and useful elements, everything related to the cow. But we have not been very expert using that, and it's time that we, you know, but in Krishna consciousness, I mean, especially for us from the West, when you join, so many things are new, and you have to start somewhere, and you have to concentrate somewhere, and somehow or other, we have been lacking in giving attention to the cause. But it's important that at some point there is a wake-up call and that we readjust that situation. Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you.